Aha, there we go.
And remember to smile.
Remember to smile. Hey everyone, I'm Madonna Guy.
David Seal here.
Howdy do. We're going to talk from two of our perspectives today about brain regions and how they are affected by long-term stress and what we can do about it.
Okay.
Some of the solutions and, just try to give some hope out there. After the week we've had, we need a little hope too. Anyway, life is good, life is good, life is good. So the amygdala, number one, the alarm center of the brain. It gets hyperactive in chronic stress. Did you know, here's just a little factoid that I find funny. Women who always claim that there's nothing different about their brains to men's. Well, in premenstrual tension, our amygdalas get bigger. It actually primes us to look at the world around us as a threat. Anyway,
But the
the
amygdala,
amygdala. So the
it has that nature when it's turned on anyway.
Yeah, but it gets worse for women during PMT. So
Okay.
it's that part that it's to do with fight and flight, freeze, all the rage and anger, lots of things. It deliberately switches our brain's pleasure centers off when we think we're under stress. So it does all sorts of stuff for us. And it's that thing where, the old Vietnam vets and, poor old war heroes, if they hear a bang or something,
Well,
their whole amygdala can really kick in.
because the amygdala is affected by trauma and stress, and it's an interesting thing because that reactivity, because the chronic stress or really intense stress that goes on over time, it'll actually change its nature.
Yeah, change the wiring.
Yeah, but
Absolutely.
it changes the size of the amygdala too.
It does.
And then people who are born with chronic.
Say the mother is in trauma, during the pregnancy. That's not going to help a baby's amygdala when they're born either.
No, but people with some personality disorders actually have a different sized amygdala
Yeah.
from birth, so there can be permanent changes to it.
Yeah.
And then to get it rewired after it's been in distress position from trauma or, a childhood situation, people could be triggered for a lot of their lives.
Yeah, and it drives fear and anxiety and irritability and emotional volatility, which is where those little personalities come out. And and it can just
Well,
keep that body in
and
fight
people,
flight.
and like you said, people are triggered.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So easily triggered because it's hard to get the calmness back
It
once
is.
you've lost it. So people, and especially in a relationship that's triggering,
Yeah.
once it's activated, people can just trigger you like that and get you into that difficult space.
And of course, that's why, for those people who can, doing counseling or kinesiology or the AO Solex Hub or, something, regularly to start retraining the brain to believe that the world is a less dangerous place is really important because as long as we believe it's dangerous subconsciously, every single day, the brain is going to be creating the parameters in our world that make us continue to believe that the world is a dangerous
And the
place.
problem is, once you're in the cycle, even if it isn't true,
Yes.
because,
Well, most of the time it's not
well,
true.
it's interesting the nature of either whichever your side, there'll be an active thing going on there that'll be often, sort of diagnosed as chronic depression or chronic
Yeah,
anxiety.
yes.
But the nature of depression is that it's a bit more negative than it should be.
Yeah.
So, and if you're a parent, then your negative outlook will be transferred to your kids. And also anxiety, if it gets strong, it's actually quite paranoid.
Yeah.
And that can be triggered as well. So, you're showing an example to yourself and others of being a little bit more worried than you should be.
Yeah.
And getting those things back to balance in a healthy way.
Yeah.
I mean, one good thing about counseling and a lot of parts of the natural therapies is that we work on more of a preventative basis, a forward-looking preventative basis, because in counseling we've got positive therapy, and it's considered a preventative treatment because it future orientates into a better perspective,
Yeah.
and
Yeah, and
naturopathy works like that as well. It's one of the foundations, isn't it? Whereas often the medical stuff, once it's there, you've got the emergency medicine to hit it.
well, I always say to clients, if they're taking things like, Stem Enhance or Broccon, some really good chunky supplements, if they're taking that, you don't know what we're preventing in the future by upregulating genes, by upregulating stem cells, by upregulating the GLP systems,
Or teaching people to calm
or
down,
teaching people to calm down, or with kinesiology, taking that survival pattern out of their, brain mechanistic patterns,
Because
so.
same as counselling, the natural therapies are integrative, that you use a whole range of different things depending on the client
Yeah, and depending on the practitioner.
and the, well, the practitioner.
Yeah.
But
So the things that help to calm the amygdala, so for a start, good old oxytocin. So how many people just need more connection or touch, or they need to get pets or get into prayer or community or something like that? All of these things help to increase
the internet stopped
oxytocin.
people touching each other,
Sigh.
sadly.
Yeah, during I was one of those practitioners during COVID where someone would say, "Oh, I think I might have an infection." I'd say, "Bring it in, boost my immunity," and I'd deliberately give them a hug, which would terrify people. But I'm like, "Well, my immune system, my responsibility." Meditation and breath work, hugely
Well,
important for
if
the
you learn them
amygdala.
well, they can be life-saving. Breath work especially can be really life-saving because there's so many different types
Yeah.
and there's so many different styles and teachers, but any type of breath where a deep breath with an out longer outward breath is going to help.
Yeah. So it reduces the amygdala volume, the more we do it.
It allows so our neural energy is always coming up through our what is
Vagus
the
nerve.
vagus and other nerves. We've got nerves all
Yeah.
throughout the body, like a big, it's like a, from the brain stem down, it's like a big root system, actually.
Yeah.
And so the energy is always going up. And when we're stressed, the energy gets stuck in the middle brain.
Right.
And that's why we become reactive. And by breathing carefully, I think Dan Siegel, he did a lot of work on this type of thing. He said that, and especially neurological work, he says, when you can calm it down through breathing, it gives the brain a space to let the nerve energy go all the way up to the top, mid cortex, and round to the front, if we can do it well. It's a
Yeah.
fairly, takes a lot of practice to get that integration working, but a lot of people just hold their breath when they're triggered. So, when you're triggered, it's very easy to react. You're
Yeah.
triggered, you want to say something back, or you want to, like, maybe, or some, whatever it is, but you get triggered and you want to. But if you can breathe and hold back for a second
Yeah.
or two, the reaction will be less.
And if you do have
It's nearly
the
impossible when you're in a triggering relationship.
Yeah. And in our clinic, we've got this thing called the Solex AO Hub. And what it does, it puts frequencies through your brain at the same time we're playing music. And it has vagal nerve stimulation as well as these frequencies. So connected to very different parts of the brain, lots of different things. So we, that's a 30-minute treatment that just calms a farm. And everyone
Heat,
walked
sound, and
out.
vision.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, people get a lot of nice visualizations during that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, David's been developing a meditation process lately that we'll do a few videos, that people will be able to listen to back themselves.
Active imagination.
Unfortunately, my brain's not there at the moment. We've had a few weird losses this week, so we're sort of,
So, well,
but maybe next week we'll try to
that
get back
particular
into
thing,
that.
one of Carl Jung's things, active imagination, and it works with shadow integration, which is, trying to integrate the parts of ourselves that are coming up, like
Yeah. Things like walking in sunshine and fresh air. I was
all
looking at a study this morning. They're actually saying that when you walk in outside, even with your clothes on, the sunshine has the ability to go through the body. So that's why it upregulates so many receptors in the body when we're having good, healthy levels of sunshine. So good for us.
Well, a lot of people get locked at home, either a type of agoraphobia or a social phobia,
Yeah.
and going out in the sun in the morning is a good way to get depression
Yeah.
upregulated because it's staying in that not wanting to go out space.
Yeah.
It's very common, especially in middle aged.
Yeah. Redox signaling molecules are part of the cellular signaling process that helps to calm inflammation. And the little GLP, the GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP naturally reduce amygdala hyperactivity. There's a lot of receptors in the amygdala, so tri-GLP is amazing for that. And also, it calms neuroinflammation. Like it's
So
just,
many, so many, so many products you got can work with that,
yeah, absolutely. And then good old
depending
kinesiology
on the
and
person.
counseling. Yeah. Well, yeah. Not great for vegetarians because it comes from salmon.
Well, but you've got so many options to deal with that, other stress relieving supplements
Yeah,
and,
but not specifically for the receptors, the way the GLP works.
well,
It's a
then,
bit
but
different.
there's other things still.
Yeah.
Well, if I can't take it, I need something. So I want to know what the other thing
Well, we're
is.
moving on to the next area of the brain. So, no, there's lots of areas. Like, there was that product that one of our reps gave us a year or so ago, has not muscle tested up. There was all these claims that it did all sorts
The
of things to the
metabolic.
brain. No, it's a powder that tastes like ginger. I can't remember what it's called. But basically, she gave all this great idea of what it does. Not once is it muscle tested up for people. So it's gone off on the shelf. I'll use it before bed, you know. But, you know, some things just don't work the way that they may or may not.
Before memory learning and
No.
context.
So now we're going into the next
I
area, the
know, but
hippocampus.
just on this area, things like
We haven't mentioned it yet. So the next area we're
hippocamp.
talking, yes, we haven't mentioned it yet. So the next
Oh, sorry,
area,
I
we were
forgot.
in the amygdala. So the next area is the hippocampus to do with memory and learning and context. So it shrinks under stress down to 9% of the full size, actually. So by the time people have got dementia, you know, they're little, poor little dull and hippocampy, 9% of the size it should be.
There's another aspect other than shrinking. It also, so when you're stressed and you've got your body's full of adrenaline and cortisol, because your brain goes faster, your hippocampus can't catch all the memories. And so when your brain's going too fast, you can only pick up some of the memories. And that's something that happens too. So a lot of people who are under chronic stress can't remember things because they're activated so quickly that hippocampus can't pick it up. And another aspect of that is that
Oh,
with
that'll be because of cortisol. So cortisol shuts down short-term memory.
sure.
If you can't activate short-term memory, you don't get it into medium or long-term memory.
Yeah, so that's part of it. But then there's because I remember reading a study about this, and then there's another thing about it is that the past, the present, and the future parts of it overlap a little bit. And so people who've had something, either a very intense stress happen to them, like I knew one guy who got mugged, and then every time he went to that place, he became terrified.
Poor
And
darling.
that's because he was an adult when it happened, but that's because the past and the present and the future overlap a little bit. So a chronic stressor like that can take you down to the past memory and appear that it's in the present. And that's what happens with a lot of triggering. It brings a past thing triggered in the hippocampus because they overlap a bit, brings you in the present to have the whole stress makeup like the thing was happening again, even though it's not. And that's really common. I remember reading that in a neurological article and thinking, oh, that's like really.
Oh, it is, absolutely. And of course, if you're not present in the moment, your brain is doing all sorts of weird things with the world around you.
Right, and we just know from ancient history, anything around the hippocampus can be improved by different types of, the gin things and the ginkgos and the bilobas and those types of things, really good for getting the brain working in a more smoothly way. Because what do they help with? Blood flow.
And same with B12. You know, there's a massive
Right.
amount of B12 receptors in the brain as well, especially in the frontal cortex. So B12 and folate. They've done lots of studies with those in people with dementia and Alzheimer's to sort of see. But you know, people need to be consistent with these things. And as a general rule, it's quite a big dose we need. And again, not the arsenic version, the cyanocobalamin. So it's good to get the methylated B12s, but 4 grams a day, 4,000 micrograms a day, which is the equivalent here in Australia of 2 B12 injections a day. We need for at least 3 weeks to start pulling out some of the stuff that's stored in our brains that is stopping our brains from working. So if we have an improvement in memory over 3 weeks with 4 grams a day, then that's a sign that it's a chronic B12 folate deficiency. You know, when, because, you know, well, like even that study that came out like 2008 or something with things like Tylenol. So, whatever the active ingredient is in Tylenol, it can shut down the,
Is that paracetamol?
maybe it is. So, it shuts down the receptors in the frontal cortex, which is why people can feel dopey and it's why people fall asleep. You know,
Right.
some people go to sleep when they take these drugs as well because it makes the brain really tired.
Because I was watching, so listening to something yesterday, and they were talking how that worked. The paracetamol doesn't actually, they were using an American name like this, but it doesn't actually get the pain. It makes you careless. That's what they said. So that would be attached to prefrontal lobe.
Because another.
But sometimes that can be okay because if caring too much is demobilizing you. I mean, don't forget these stress states are very painful for
Yeah,
people.
absolutely.
And they because and if they're still in a stressful situation that they can't or don't want to get out of, you can work out different ways to regulate, get a really nice holistic plan to get all your positive hormones moving up.
Like I muscle tested up, you know, when I run a bio when we run our bioresonance scans for people, and then we send them the reports. And one of the things is a report that gives you frequencies or music, or sometimes it's nature to listen to. And it muscle tested up for someone recently twice a day, and I can't remember, but it was something stress wise. I said, it's saying at least twice a day, you need to listen to these frequencies, and that'll keep you going until we get you back next time, for the next round. So it was sort of an interesting request by the body to go, make sure you listen to your frequencies, because they're specifically put together.
And listening to all sorts of things like music,
Yeah.
because a lot of people on the internet now, they're really watching a lot of essentially non-fiction. Do
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Just stuff. And the thing is, it's not music, and it's not necessarily uplifting, because we're often what we're listening to is, maybe controversial, because the internet's designed to make it like that. The
Yeah.
feed coming down will make it, because funny, the internet's a little bit like being in a bad relationship, because the way it tunes the feed
Yeah.
is for conflict, actually. So it's like having an abusive partner with you all the time. So it's like good to use the internet for more positive things, music, because all the good stuff's on there too. You've got to remember that.
Yeah. 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 So the poor little hippocampus that sometimes makes the trauma memories feel really present, which is why we've got to be calming the farm regularly. And it really can mess with someone's stress. One of our clients just recently was saying how her mother's dementia is at a spot where she's losing her barriers. So she's starting to become violent. And we do see that a bit with clients as they get older when their brain, their hippocampus just isn't there, so they don't even remember the people they love as easily. It's
And
really
also just being
dangerous.
chronically sick, you can see why people get angry.
Yeah.
Like when I'm really, really sick, I'm
Yeah.
a bit of a grumpy person.
Aren't we all? So that's not just you. But things like the cerebral stem enhance, that's a really specific hippocampal repair pathway. David mentioned the things like the Brahmi and ginkgo and all of the ginseng
All of
family.
those, like
They're all so lovely
because
for
in
the
Asia, if you
brain.
can afford it, you just buy them. That's just
Yeah.
what everyone does.
Yeah. Things like the sulforaphane, there's really specific pathways through the hippocampus that are damaged by oxidative stress. So the
Right.
sulforaphane products like Broccon, they help to upregulate the NRF2 pathways, which calms inflammation and oxidative stress in the hippocampus. Exercise is so powerful. Exercise is so powerful. Even if your knees are aching, you still got to get out there and walk and enjoy that. I do think it's hilarious when people say they exercise and they take their dogs for a walk. And I walk past these people, they've got these little tiny little puppies going for a walk, and I think that's not exercise,
No, but
but hippocampus is
if you've
a
got a sore leg or something, just going for a walk's a lot, because it hurts all the way.
yeah. Anyway, I was joking. So, but you can get in water. There are other things that people can do. So they can get in water because that takes pressure off the knees. So that's why aqua is so important for people. And there'll be other things. Sometimes you might be able to ride a bike or, just other things.
Think if you can do at home too, like dancing, get the music on and get
Yeah.
breathing and
Swimming takes the
swimming.
pressure off the knees. Yep. Sunshine. We need sunshine. Vitamin D is incredibly powerful for the hippocampus. It increases mood regulation as well.
And vitamins D is one of the best turn-ons for immune system anyway.
Yeah, it's
It's the
amazing.
immune system enhancement drug.
Yeah, and meditation, like David says, if you're doing it correctly, it actually helps to increase the hippocampal thickness, so it makes it bigger
And
and
there's so
stronger.
many, meditation's become quite a fashion now. And it's
Yeah.
good that people are learning it, because, in the West, we've forgotten about the internal experience in ourselves.
Yeah.
We're very externalized. So it's
Yes.
good to get some focus on the inner world.
And
There's a
there's
whole
a
world in there if you find it.
there is. And the whole gut brain connection. So if the gut's inflamed, sometimes you've got to go back to the gut. So if that gut's inflamed, we're constantly going to be feeding our brain inflammatory cytokines that it's not going to be able to get past. So naturopathic gut, so whether that's probiotics or gut healing things or the tri-GLP, whatever it is that floats your boat, but there's millions of things out there for the gut.
And moods are affected by your gut,
Surely
the
are.
whole microbiome.
Yeah,
I mean, the
massively.
latest research is really interesting when you look at what it is like that. So depression can come from a bad diet.
Sure can. Oh, well, I've told you the story before, so you've probably heard me say this 15 times. But one of my clients many, many years ago, she saw me 3 months in a row on a Tuesday. And it was just when I happened to comment to her, wow, you've had these panic attacks, on a Tuesday, 3 months in a row. And And she said, "Yeah, that's really weird." And then when we went back, it was that there were four couples, and each couple would make a meal each week. So they all got together, 8 people every weekend. Anyway, one of the couples refused to follow her dietary requirements because she had been pre-diabetic at one stage, so therefore she tried to be wheat-free. But this one particular friend, the fourth, week each month, would make these huge pasta dishes or these huge dishes, delicious bread things, or, and then she would get panic attacks within like 24, 48 hours. So what it does, it creates this inflammation in the gut. So your little villi aren't working as well as they should because we make a huge amount of enzymes and all sorts of good stuff in the gut, like melatonin and serotonin and dopamine. So there is a gut-mediated development of these little guys in the gut as well. But the inflammation drives this gut-brain inflammation. So then your brain's inflamed and you can get a panic attack. So anyway, it was pretty funny. Like that was like 15, 20 years ago, but it's just one of those stories that just go, man, it was just funny when we realized that her friend was accidentally sabotaging her. And she would beg her not to do bready stuff because she had
Oh,
no
she actually
willpower.
asked her.
She asked her over and over again, but the friend loved her bready stuff. And I don't know whether it was a stick it to a thing, but it was pretty bloody weird. I can't imagine that doing that to anyone, but that's just me. So now this is an area you love, the good old prefrontal cortex, because this is about decision making and emotional regulation, and it goes offline under stress.
Well, kids who've had really bad trauma, it hardly even works when they look at it under the brain scan. So different things can patch it out, just
Right.
make it become offline for a while.
Yeah, so when it's not working, it weakens our emotional regulation and stops us being able to focus and plan. So kids can't do their homework. They can't, adults, we can't even think to next week, much less, like it's been a bit of a traumatic clinic week here. And, and last week David was asking me to do a few things. I'm like, I can't. I just don't have I don't have it. Whatever that is, I can't do it at the moment. And I knew I couldn't do it. And anyway,
That's
back in
all
the
right. We
saddle.
went and played in the fake snow with the kids and
We
had
did.
fun.
That was great fun. But yeah, when your prefrontal cortex isn't up and running, it's harder to override fear responses. So fear can come in and really take over and just downregulate a whole bunch of our happy,
Well,
excitement, fun.
it's a funny thing, the front part of the brain, because in development, it's like it doesn't finish growing till, 23 to 25.
Right.
And so,
Ah, that's the area.
it's also the part of the brain that's most affected socially. So it's like, and so because it's part, because as it grows, like, until your kids get to 25, as a parent, you kind of got to be their external prefrontal cortex
Yeah,
because
I
it's
love
not finished. It's,
that.
you've got to be an external prefrontal cortex for them because theirs isn't online yet. It hasn't fully developed. And then, so we want it to develop. And it's the part of the brain that's most affected by social, right? Because it grows through social integration and social interactions. And so therefore, because it's the one that, of course the internal are affected by trauma and stress too. But when this one doesn't work, a lot of when it doesn't work, the prefrontal cortex is also the part that integrates the rest of the brain. Right, so if it's not there, the other parts don't integrate properly, and that's a n another whole nother topic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Finding ways to get your prefrontal cortex going, because trauma can take it offline, because it does all the beautiful things, like the intuition works up there, the self-regulation works up there, the taking time to make a decision works up there. It's all that slow goodness that. If we're stressed, what a good friend would say to us instead of doing what our plan is.
Well, yeah, so well, we might go into that if we have time. We probably won't. I just had a quick look at whether or not there were medications that accidentally shut down these parts of the brain, and it gave me a big list. Anyway, so we'll leave that for now. But back to the prefrontal
But
cortex
so many
minute.
things shut it down, whether it's this or that. But the trick is getting it retuned. Because And things like breath work do that. It's getting, because it's about getting the blood flow
Yeah.
up there
Now,
and the nerve flow, because the nerves come up through the brain and they all go around there.
so women run more on oxytocin as a booster for, getting stuff done, whereas men work more on dopamine for getting stuff done. So with the prefrontal cortex for guys, boys, kids, it's more
What's
the
the good one?
dopamine, oxytocin.
Oxytocin. That makes sense why women are more relational.
Yeah.
So
So the
relational
dopamine
based.
boosting activities, so achievement and creativity. And I was thinking about little Teddy, so my little Teddy. So he got his black belt in many muscles last week, which was very, very cute. It's taken him 4 years. And, he is just not a natural athlete. So for him to be in there and he stuck it out and, 4 years later, he gets his little black belt. And it was very cute when I had the video of him and I said, "So you're feeling proud?" And he said, "Very proud." It was just cute as a button. So yeah, so and he's been waiting for that every week for 6 months. He's saying, "When am I getting my black belt? When am I getting my black belt? When am I getting my black belt?" So yeah, been amazing. Although yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, so things like learning and achievement and sunshine and creativity all help to boost the dopamine.
One thing I noticed, I was studying last week or the week before, and I was looking at the effects on chronic stress, and it actually, what's really interesting, especially in middle age, it actually appears quite differently in women to men.
Yeah, right.
And so, like the typical things that men have, they've got the gut thing,
Yes.
like that's very typical. And what I
Yeah,
noticed is,
cortisol lays it down.
right, except women have a different thing, and because I know, you see clients, and I sort of see it, but there's these common set of things that women have with the chronic stress that's quite different to men in the physical way it lines up physically.
We might do a different, say that sounds like a fairly big thing.
Yeah, but it was very interesting because it's like because the treatment's different as well, because
Yes.
it affects the hormones differently as well, and the
Yes.
way the
Oh,
neurons differ.
absolutely.
Quite
100%.
different in women and men, but we'll do another one on that
Yeah,
another day. But that was just
absolutely.
something I noticed, and I went, oh, that's really significant, just because I see a lot of what people are coming in for, and I'm like,
Yes.
oh, the guys like that, the girls like that, oh, that makes such sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so with that prefrontal cortex, the decision making and stuff, it's the dopamine boosting things. It's the exercise, it's the meditation. Again, the tri-GLP, the GLP-1 has a huge amount of little receptors in that part of the brain. So keeping, which is really, again, about reducing gut inflammation, because reducing gut inflammation reduces neuroinflammation as well. And it supports executive function. So that ability to create your life moving forwards, that ability to see yourself a year down the track. What do you want to be a year from now? Where do you want your life to be sitting? How would you like to be feeling? So.
But a lot of that stuff, you work in counselling and you work at goals with people, because especially in middle age, by the time people have got to that, they've already worked out what they're doing in them, and it's all messed up. They're like, "Hang on, I thought I knew what I was doing,"
Yeah,
and
totally.
you need to realign people's values with their actual goals, because it's like when your kids are growing up, and you're like, "What do I do now?"
Yeah.
You actually have to reset,
Yeah, absolutely.
reset to your own values and your
And here in Australia, we've had the bloody worst budget ever by our Prime Minister recently. And I'm finding that so many people are more stressed than ever before with these new
A
taxes.
lot of people I
Like
know are
it's
talking.
absolutely huge. So it's up to 30% more tax for people as they retire. So people who have been planning their retirement can't plan it now. Like it's really quite bizarre.
Well,
Anyway.
I could blame the baby boomers because it's the
Oh,
X generation. No. It's the X
no,
generation's time to
no.
retire. All right, we can cut that bit out, but that's funny.
Yeah.
You're X generation, don't you feel discriminated against?
No,
No, okay.
no.
Oh, they just brought dinner for the X gen, ironically. I'm not
Worst
saying they're the most
budget
selfish
ever.
generation on earth. Elbow's a baby
Yeah.
burner.
That's not the only thing he is. Anyway, sorry, now my brain's all fried.
Oh, the baby boomer triggered your prefrontal cortex to
Oh
go
man,
off.
sure did.
All right, I wasn't expecting that one.
So prefrontal cortex. So yeah, so oxidative stress. So again, the free radical damage that happens in our body when our body is toxic, that all shuts down the prefrontal cortex as well. So again, the more we detox,
CQ,
making sure,
CQ,
CoQ10 is great for the heart. CoQ10 is great for the brain.
And helps oxidative stress.
It does help with that. It doesn't help detox though.
No,
Though,
oxidative.
it's more like things like the Brocons and Masterpiece
I
Zeolites
just
and,
say that because
all
of
of
that
your,
heart thing. You've got to reduce your oxidative
you
stress.
sure do. And then of course all the counseling and CBD and kinesiology, so rebuilding the top-down regulation pathways. People have got to believe that their life is worth fighting, and here in Australia it's pretty hard at the moment. But anyway.
How can we be the most resilient people at the same time?
So the next area that's affected by chronic stress is the BNST. It's the bed nucleus of the stria terminalis. I think you actually mentioned this a few weeks ago because it's one of the most important and overlooked regions in the entire stress
I haven't
trauma.
studied that part of the brain.
Oh, no, I think you mentioned about this without calling it this a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So it's a read, yeah. So if the amygdala is the brain's smoke detector, the BNST is the brain's long duration anxiety generator.
Oh,
So
okay.
where the amygdala handles immediate fear, the bed nucleus of the stria terminalis handles anticipatory fear,
Which is
background anxiety,
hypervigilance.
yeah,
Yeah,
as
right.
well as sustained
That's
stress
really interesting.
responses. So it controls a
What
whole
does it
bunch of
stand for?
stuff.
B.
The bed nucleus of the stria terminalis.
Oh, well, I've learned something new.
Yeah, so it's about chronic anxiety, hypervigilance, anticipatory fear, budget, 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 the autonomic nervous system activation, heart rate and blood pressure areas, gut tension and nausea, sleep disruption, stress hormonal release, the
That's
HPA
nearly everything
axis.
that most of so many clients have.
Yeah, absolutely. So back to the BNST. Oh, it's incredible. So oxytocin is one of the number one things with the BNST. So those people who do miss out on friendship and communication and community and hugs and cuddles and sex,
Really?
their bodies just aren't going to have this great BNST area. So this
BNST.
area is just going to stay hyperactive for anticipatory anxiety moving forward.
Yeah, so if you're in a situation where there's not just a one-off thing but a pattern,
Yes.
like often in the workplace you'll have some person there who's
Yeah.
just, you know what people do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, and it's that constant, you go to work and you're actually scared of what they're going to say next, or in relationships,
Yeah.
could be a couple relationship, family relationship, and people just keep triggering you. The
Yeah.
BNST, that reminds me of like a what are those kids' books? Like the BFG?
BFG?
Yeah, who's that?
I'm
Who's
not
that
sure.
author?
Not there yet. Anyway, so the
Oh,
geo.
Roald Dahl.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, it
BNST,
does sound like one of his
something
things.
out of a Roald Dahl story.
So that little GLP signaling little group of things, GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP, they help to moderate autonomic tone. So they're, and therefore reduce sustained anxiety signaling. I actually did a video about how those three little peptides increase confidence
Oh, I can't take
because
any of
of,
that fish.
no, I know. Yeah, walking in nature, exposure, meditation, and redox molecules. So all of those things help to support the autonomic balance and calm the inflammation, so reduce inflammation in the
Could
brain.
we have a quick look at what behaviors break that down?
So behaviors that break down BNST, so chronic
Oh,
avoiders of stresses, avoiding
uh-huh.
con
Avoidance.
Yeah, right. It feels avoidance feels safe short term, but long term it teaches the BNST that everything is dangerous. So examples are avoiding conversations, avoiding decisions, avoiding places associated with discomfort, avoiding
And that
responsibility
makes it worse.
makes it worse.
Okay, so something like ACT therapy, attention commitment therapy, would work with this really well.
So why it breaks down the BNST? Avoidance prevents the BNST from learning that situations can be safe.
Right.
But again, that's why I love the brain hub because it recreates new neuronal brain pathways for chronic stress in people. So, we've talked before about
But
the.
you need a someone telling you at the same time as getting. That you need to.
No, you don't.
No, but it's just, well, sorry, that's the way therapy works. You have the ideas and they'll help activate.
But that's why the brain hub's so amazing. You don't need that. It's literally creating the new
You're still,
pathways for
sure, but
specific
still you've got to
stress.
like actively get out of that. Especially if you've been avoiding all these things for a long time, that's a real habit.
Yeah.
And getting out after that, if you've been doing that for years, Because that's a full social phobia or agoraphobia right there in the avoidance. That's really interesting.
Isn't it
It's
funny
made a
that
discovery
avoiding
there.
stress is actually making it worse? So therefore people stay constantly hypervigilant. So behaviors like scanning for danger and checking repeatedly, monitoring symptoms, over-controlling environments. So hypervigilance keeps the BNST in always on mode, reinforcing chronic anxiety and sympathetic activation. And sleep deprivation or irregular sleep behaviors like staying up late and inconsistent sleep times and scrolling at nighttime and sleeping in bursts. So poor sleep increases the BNST firing, reducing emotional resilience and destabilizing autonomic tone.
And then you can overactivate it through too many stimulants.
Coffee and
Okay,
energy
so
drinks
there's a
and
physical.
pre-workouts.
Oh, so it must be like a burnout.
Stimulant medications without balance. Interesting.
Very
So
interesting.
stimulants increase sympathetic tone. BNST interprets this as danger, amplifying anxiety and gut tension. And emotional suppression, so behaviors like pushing feelings down, staying strong, not expressing fear, sadness, or overwhelm, intellectualizing emotions. It's one of the things that middle-aged women say to me a lot of the time is that no one would ever know they were stressed.
Yeah, men are good at hiding that too.
So suppressed emotions activate the BNST circuits because the brain interprets unprocessed feelings as unresolved threats. And I remember
They the brain interprets what?
the unprocessed feelings as unresolved threats.
Oh, really? Oh, that's actually really incredible.
And then the social isolating, so withdrawing ourselves, avoiding connections, staying alone for long periods. Oxytocin is one of the best things that
Yeah,
helps
because
to regulate
people
BNST.
self-isolate when they're depressed or anxious. They'll just avoid reaching out or.
So isolation reduces oxytocin and BNST becomes more reactive.
So if people, because a lot of people in relationships, rather than being aggressive, they'll use, what do I call it? Weaponized neglect, relational neglect. They just cut off. And then that person doesn't even have to, if they're used to the oxytocin, then cut it off, then they're just starving, and this will just become really interesting, actually.
So catastrophic thinking or rumination, so those people who just ruminate on
This is
everything.
like got all the components of,
Chronic abuse.
well, we have so many categories of things that these symptoms are all the main issues of. Really incredible.
So behaviors like imagining worst case scenarios and looping thoughts, replaying fears,
Yeah, all the negative self.
future focused anxiety. Rumination strengthens those fear pathways, which is the BNST
Why didn't
specialty.
we ever heard of this before?
Well, occasionally when this shows up,
That's interesting, isn't it?
I've been to a couple of, because I've been doing brain physiology for 30 years just about, and occasionally an area like this, I go and Google what are the names, and then it's got some other name I've heard of. So sometimes it's just part of another area of the brain. Overworking. So people who have no downtime, filling every moment, avoiding rest, compulsive productivity.
So that could be on the other side of someone who's in a bit of a controlling relationship and they're being a perfectionist. I mean, this pulls so many things into it. What an interesting
So the
complex.
BNST interprets relentless activity as an ongoing threat, which, increases that sympathetic dominance again. And excessive screen time. So doom scrolling, you mentioned this earlier on. Doom scrolling and overstimulation, late night screens, constant notifications.
You can always upregulate your quality of online.
No, it's still the same thing. It's still
No,
the light that is screwing up
I
your
know, but I
melatonin
know.
and
But if you listen,
serotonin.
well, I listen. I don't watch. I listen because I do things while I'm listening to the internet.
But you're ADHD, that's even worse for you.
I'm learning anyway. So, no, I've got an issue with the whole negative screen thing because I think it isn't true because
It's true. We just have to do something about it. It is true. It's 100% true.
But you do nearly most of your so much of your stuff online,
I know I do.
but the thing is, there's so much positive about it. My issue with the blanket negative against screens for kids and this and that But if you up the quality of it, and you also maybe have a light when you're on, when you're looking at your screen, same as we did when we were kids, it's like can be a really positive thing. And it can be as positive as it is negative if you do good things with it. Like nearly always, everyone's on a computer all day now.
Anyway,
Isn't that interesting? The BFG.
BNST.
Oh, no, that was talking the Roald Dahl book. What was it called? The Big Giant? Big Friendly Giant?
Ah, is that what it was? So yeah, and drugs like the oh, where was it? BNST. So drugs like benzodiazepines, they reduce sustained anxiety but impair natural regulation, and alcohol suppresses your BNST, so you get the rebound anxiety later.
Wants to do the HPA, but we missed it.
Yep. No. Now we're going to have to finish up. So,
Sure.
things that help you
Well,
calm the
we got a
BNST.
bit on the BNST thing. It's like a new toy.
Oxytocin is one of the strongest modulators of it. So, hugs and care and community and friends and prayer and meditation, all of those good things.
And pets.
Yep. And pets, the GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP, they help to modulate the autonomic tone, reducing sustained anxiety signaling. Walking in nature, bloody awesome. And redox molecules and meditation. So, lots of good things. So, and then the HPA. So, you sort of mentioned this as we were
Oh,
scrolling through.
the bunch
So, the
of blood stuff.
hypothalamus and HPA. So, well, cortisol is the number one thing associated with
Yeah,
it
sure,
because it's
obviously.
the only hormone that goes up as we get older. So, once we have too much or too little or unstable cortisol, this whole chaos thing messes with our sleep, our appetite, our hormones, our immune system, our weight, and it drives inflammation and fatigue. So, again, it's the usual things that help with cortisol. Sunshine and walking and exercise. Gentle exercise if you've got dodgy
Plus
knees.
anything that calms you down too, because you've got a lot of herbs that calm down cortisol.
Yeah, absolutely. The TriGLP again, it helps to support the autonomic and metabolic stability. Probiotics, there's a huge gut HPA axis regulation again, kinesiology and counseling. Yeah, and lots of nervines for the nervous systems. Nervines are herbs that tone the nervous system. So, any of the rhodiolas and schisandras and, all the ginsengs and schisandra, lots of
So
them.
many exercises,
Shatavari.
shaking, all these types of things, shaking your body, doing, going
Oh, did you
running.
see TGA's all over with Withania this week? That's a new one they want to take off us. Anyway,
Withania,
yeah.
Indian ginseng. Okay,
Whatever.
I
They're trying to
saw it
take that one
healthy.
next one. Yep, I know. They're trying to remove it. All those good things. I think that's what we've got time for today. But yeah, we do have discovered this new little part of the brain, which is pretty funny. So the meditation, the exercise, the oxytocins, your TriGLP, your redox molecules, everything that helps to tone the vagus nerve, getting in the water, getting in, your sunshine, your fresh air, your nature, all of those things, your counseling, your kinesiology, everything can be helped.
And improving the quality of what you do online.
Yeah, because people are living in 3 minute, 3 minute scrolls.
People are living in their rooms with their own little device.
Yeah.
So you're not going to stop people doing that. And if everyone at home stops talking to you because they're on their screen, increase the quality.
Yeah. But
Whatever that is.
you do have to protect yourself from the lights associated with computer screens.
Yeah, that's why you
So
wear these
yeah,
yellow glasses.
there's lots of protection you can do. In fact, it's sort of funny, I've been using my little doodad recently. So because this helps to increase the eye function. So I've sort of been doing that 3 minutes each eye for the last few weeks.
Working.
Well, it is funny because occasionally I am looking at things and I'm seeing things that normally I would automatically put my glasses on for. So funnily enough, it is improving things. But it's anyway, so that's a bit of
I
fun.
learned in yoga, steady gazing at a candle.
Yeah, right. Well, that's
So
pretty
any
excellent.
types of steady gazing, and with light too, it's interesting because that was the traditional way, steady gazing into a candle.
Well, candles would have some red light in them, which is really powerful for the mitochondria of the eyes. So yeah. So sorry, we went on a couple of tangents there.
I know that was a really good, helpful tangent because I didn't know about the
Yeah.
BFG.
So the BNST.
The Roald Dahl, the Roald Dahl part of the brain.
Yeah. So everyone thinks of stress as just affecting their moods and, stuff like that, but it affects so much more in our body. It really messes with our ability to have resilience as we get older if we're not getting out from underneath. And it's sort of
And in my
fun.
case, it makes me shitty to other people when they don't want to be.
Yeah. Doesn't do that to me.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, I'm a magical person. So, but yeah, what I was thinking was that when we don't pay attention to what is going on, because like it said before with the BNST, a lot of people, and I always say this to
That's really
parents,
foundational, actually.
with their
And
parents,
a
with
lot of
their,
work into that.
yeah, right, with kids, they're forced to do things they don't want to do. So Teddy was actually being a bit of a butt this morning, and I forced him to do a couple of things. And 2 hours before he was going to school, I don't want to go to school today. Anyway, so I said, okay, and then I wasn't going to give him brekkie. And then all of a sudden he came down, he hugged and he apologized. I want breakfast. And, anyway, it all worked out and he's off at school. But it is
Well,
interesting
still,
because
that
imagine if you allowed them just not to go to school every time they didn't want to go to school.
yeah,
That's messing
that's
with
like
your.
my parenting.
Yeah, because it's messing with the BNST so that then they're not learning resilience. There's no
Well,
resilience if they avoid every time they don't want to do it. But adults can do this anytime they want, within reason. So many people leave a job the second it feels uncomfortable, or they stop a course when, it's a bit tough. So as adults, we can choose whether we're broke and not doing something, or whether we have a job that's a bit tough. We've got more choices as adults. But like you said, you as an adult, you've got to be your kid's prefrontal cortex. You've also got to be your kid's BNST, to help them move through that anxious sort of stuff. I was listening to a podcast with Carl Stefanovic and Ant Middleton. Did you hear that one? So I've got no idea who this guy is, but Ant Middleton, some UK dude who must be like high up in the army somewhere. He served his country, and he took his son to climb Mount Everest recently. And the amount of times when the son begged him to go back down, and he'd sit him down and he'd say, "Well, we're not going back down. This is the worst it's ever going to be. So, let's dig in anyway." But he thanked his dad so profoundly when he got back down, because it's one of the most experienced, amazing experiences. Well, it
Well,
is the most amazing experience he's
the
ever had
thing about
in his
teenagers,
life.
one thing about teenagers, they got lower than baseline dopamine,
Yeah.
but they generally get a double dopamine hit for novelty.
Yeah.
So when they're teenagers, just doing new things. But the problem now is kids will go, oh, I'm bored. And then, do you want to do this? No, I don't want to do that. So you've got to like push them out.
Yeah.
Because once they're out there, they like it.
Yeah.
Same as the people who stay at home. You get
Yeah.
out there, you like it.
Yeah. So even though stress and trauma change the brain can bounce back. So there are so many things out there we can do for the brain.
Well,
It's
because
not just one
the
thing.
body and the brain, they're very regenerative in their nature.
Yeah.
So by getting it just right, you can you can't regenerate all things, but you can certainly regenerate some things
Yeah.
and get them in a much better condition than they are,
You can.
because in the brain and the body, right?
Absolutely. And as the nervous system becomes steadier, the mind becomes clearer, and then it's easier to, make those
And
choices that are better for
the
us.
body keeps the score. So just like the body holds the trauma, it also holds the new way,
Yeah.
the score of what how we're improving this.
Yeah, absolutely true. So we have to sort of remember that we're running the show for our lives. So we have the choice. And I heard Dave Hughes say in a podcast the other day, it's his responsibility if he wakes up in a bad mood in the morning. It's his responsibility if someone makes him sad. It's his responsibility if someone makes him triggered.
Well,
So,
maybe it's not your total responsibility, but you can only manage what you do in relation to it.
So,
I mean, you might be able to change them, but.
life is our responsibility. No one else has control over our lives. We get to control how we feel about things. That's what we get to control.
Yeah, sovereign self.
Sovereign self.
I was
Have a
looking
good
up on the.
sovereign self is a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thanks, everyone.
Bye bye.